Don't look now, but Rafael Devers is causing more drama in Boston. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. I am your host, Troy Brock. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the Twitter machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And we're going to get to all of the discourse surrounding the Boston Red Sox and Rafael Devers. We're also going to get to an explanation from a podcast that I did solo two episodes ago, but we'll get there eventually. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a five-star rating, share the show with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. How you doing this morning, Drew?
Not too bad. Another day, another, you know, tropical day here in Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio is the tropical mecca indeed. And speaking of mecca, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't point out that the conclave over there in Italy, I probably pronounced that very wrong because roll tide, but over there in Italy, they selected a pope quicker than Shador Sanders was drafted.
They sure did. Chicago got a pope before a 4,000-yard passer. I think you're mixing up your Abrahamic faiths there with Mecca and Catholicism, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, no, that was pretty quick. I'm not Catholic in the slightest, but it's always interesting to watch the whole discourse with the super Catholic in the Pope.
Yeah, no, yeah, also not Catholic. And yeah, it's to continue on the football theme, as I am wearing a Cowboys jersey today of the greatest quarterback to ever finish a career without winning a Super Bowl. But to continue on that theme, the Chicago Bears are going to have to wait quite a while to get that 4,000-yard passer if Caleb Williams continues to be the starter. But some things we won't have to wait quite a while for is looking back at yesterday's ball games and how they went down. There were 9 games yesterday thanks to a doubleheader. And a little prognostification from your boy here on something that happened in one of the games, but we'll get to that here in a little bit. The first game of the day was the Twins hosting the Orioles. Twins won 5-2. They are now 18-20. Orioles fall to 13-23. Jacks got the win, 1-2 with a 5.94 ERA. Cano got the loss, 0-2 with a 3-even ERA. And Joan Duran, not Jaron, who I always want to call him Jaron, but it's not Jaron. Joan Duran got his 6th save of the year. Red Sox wound up winning yesterday despite all the drama going on in the clubhouse. They won 5-0, hosting the Rangers up there in Beantown. The Red Sox are now 20-19. Rangers fall to 18-20. Slayton got the win, 1-3 with a 5.93 ERA, and Leiter took the loss, 2-2 with a 5.09 ERA. He has not been the same since going on the injured list with that blister. White Sox at the Royals. Royals win 10-0 in Kansas City. Royals are now 23-16. White Sox fall to 10-28. Boob Itch got the win. He's 4-2 with a 1.69 ERA. And Martin got the loss. He's 1-4 with a 4.01 ERA. First of 2 extra inning ball games on yesterday's docket, the Philadelphia Phillies took down the Tampa Bay Rays in a come-from-behind victory. The Phillies scored 6 of their 7 runs between the 8th and 10th inning to win that game 7-6. They are now 22-15. Rays fall to 16-21. It is the first sweep of the year for the Philadelphia Phillies, so break out your brooms. Jose Alvarado got the win, 4-1 with a 3-even ERA. Rodriguez got the loss for the Rays. He's 0-1 with a 2.65 ERA. And Matt Strom picked up his 2nd save of the year. The second and final game of extra innings in yesterday's slate is the Reds at the Braves. Braves did take that series 3-1. A little bit of controversy there in the late goings of that game, but the Braves did win 5-4. They moved to 18-19. Reds fall to 19-20. Blewett did not play true to his name. He got the win. He's 1-0 with a 3.12 ERA. And Rogers took the L, 1-1 with a 1.42 ERA. Walk me through that discourse late in the game, Drusif.
Yeah. Well, first off, the Reds are just straight up a liability on the base paths. Despite Elly De La Cruz with his, I think, 14 stolen bases at this point, the Reds simply do not know how to handle themselves when they're on the base paths. I think if you probably total up toot blands, caught stealings, pickoffs, the Reds might lead them all. It's just the worst. So yeah, in the top of, I believe it was the top of the 11th, the Blake Dunn grounded into a fielder's choice. The ghost runner decided to take off from second, and was thrown out at third. And then Blake Dunn, I believe it was on a normal play. He was trying to advance from first to second, and the, I believe, shortstop who was covering tagged him out. And so with replay assist, because Blake Dunn was assured that he was in there, and so did Colin Cowgill, the Reds first base coach, they challenged it. Reds challenged it. You know, why not? Top of the 11th. You can't, you know, squander another guy in scoring position, considering they had what felt like 20 guys stranded on the night. Replay assist showed that the Braves middle infielder was blocking the plate or blocking the bag, which is apparently illegal in Major League Baseball. But due to the fact that Major League Baseball umpires can't color within the lines without borders, they upheld it. And you know, it's one of those things where you can't let the game, you know, be in the hands of these people, these umpires who objectively cannot do their job. That series was god awful when it came to umpiring, just all together. So the Reds got some breaks, they got a whole lot of short ends of the deal. But I just have to know what the point of replay assist is if you're going to be able to see what's going on. You can see clear as day, Blake Dunn, the ball hit his knuckles in game one. Nope, that's a foul ball. It's not when it hits the batter, when he's not swinging, but who am I? I'm just a guy on a podcast. Or in that instance where they're blocking the bag. It's just, what's the point of replay assist if they're just not going to fix what they've done wrong? I haven't brought up the stats, but I'm definitely curious to see what, since challenging plays became part of Major League Baseball, what the breakdown is of upheld's versus overturns. Because legitimately, these umpires can do no wrong in the eyes of Major League Baseball. They're more protected than the Los Angeles Dodgers at this point.
Yeah, I think that one day we need to talk about, we will need to cover that when there's not a bunch of other stuff going on. It's the fact that the people that are in New York overseeing these replay reviews should not be other umpires that are under the same union as the umpires that are on the field, which is, it's just complete miscarriage of justice, to say the least. But there was an update on Hunter Green, yes?
Yeah, Hunter Green, grade one groin strain, which is the least severe of all of the strains. Grade one is there's some pulling, a tiny bit of tearing. Grade two, worse than that. Grade three is when it's just. So thankfully he'll only be set down for a couple of starts. They're gonna Tito said after, I think it was before yesterday's game, that they're gonna sit him down. There wasn't a move made yet, and the Reds haven't officially made a move yet. But Hunter Green will go on to the IL. I would be willing to bet that it's probably the 10-day. I wouldn't be surprised at 15, just so that they, take care of what's going on. Obviously the Reds medical staff, got their degrees at clown school, so I don't trust it very well, but we'll see. But thankfully, Hunter Green listened to his body when he was warming up, when he felt that little bit of a tug, and pulled himself out. Because if he had done what I would have done, because I am an egotistical moron when it comes to my sports, and I would have ignored it, it could have been significantly worse. And considering how hard Hunter Green was throwing and how hard Hunter Green does throw, and all that force going towards the plate, he could have exacerbated that injury so much worse. So yeah, grade one will be sat down for a couple of starts. I'm interested to see what the Reds will do. I'm hoping and praying that they don't do a bullpen day because of how taxed this bullpen has been over this last week, just in general. It's not Chase Burns' time yet, unfortunately. He's been tearing it up in single A, but he's in double A. You know, I don't think there's anything they're gonna see in triple A that'll be like, oh yeah, then now is the time, because you know, triple A for pitchers is nothing. So I'm interested to see what they do, because Carson Spires is still on the IL. He's still sat down. Unless they decide to throw Graham Ashcraft back into the rotation for a time or two, which I probably wouldn't, just because he's doing pretty well in the bullpen. But you know, still super disappointing. I'm glad it's the least severe of all the strains, but it's just been a rough start to the season for the Reds, unfortunately.
Yeah, it has. Just to clear one thing up, this is a newer rule over the past couple of years, so it is a little bit difficult to keep up with, but I did Google it to confirm. It for pitchers, it does have to be the 15-day. Pitchers is 15-day. Position players is only 10-day. So it, when he does go on the IL, it will be for the 15-day. But, of course, it can't be retroactive 3 days prior to whatever day they do put him on the IL. Blue Jays at the Angels. Blue Jays won 8-5. They are now 17-20. Angels fall to 15-21. Chris Bassitt got the win. He's 3-2 with a 3.35 ERA. Johnson got the loss, 1-1 with a 7.36 ERA. And Green got to save his first of the year. And here comes the prognostication. The Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers 5-3 in Arizona. The Diamondbacks are now 20-18. Dodgers fall to 25-13. Brandon Pfaadt got the win. He's 6-2 with a 3.28 ERA. And Yoshinobu Yamamoto doubled his ERA. He is now 4-3 after taking the loss with a 1.80 ERA. Ginkel got the save. And Yamamoto gave up all five of the Diamondbacks' runs. I said yesterday, I was going when we talked about the game, when we talked about yesterday's game at the end of yesterday's show, I said I was interested to see how changing the routine for Yamamoto and moving him up a day was going to affect him, and it looks like it affected him quite a bit because he gave up five runs in the start. It was by far his worst start of the year, and he did take the loss. Those three losses, again, pitchers, wins, and losses, don't mean much. He hasn't got much run support from the Dodgers in his starts this year, and it's kind of like Jacob deGrom from – 2018, when I think he went 9-8 and won the National League Cy Young with a 1-point-something ERA. So, again, pitchers, wins, and losses aren't important. But what is important is the fact that Troy was right. And then finally, the doubleheader, Tigers at the Rockies. Tigers won both games of the doubleheader. They are now 25-13 after both wins. The Rockies fall to 6-31. Casey Mize got the win in game one. Montero got the win in game two. Freeland got the loss in game one. Gordon got the loss in game two. Final thoughts on yesterday's games before we get to Rafael Devers, Drew?
No, let's get on to Rafael Devers. You know, good for your Phillies getting that sweep, you know, beating up on teams they're supposed to beat. But I'm on to Houston.
On to Houston, indeed. And on to Rafael Devers we are. And you know, it's two things can be true in once, to take a line from our old friend Lindsey Crosby. It's the Boston Red Sox from the beginning have not handled this situation well surrounding Rafael Devers over the offseason, and now also, of course, now it's a little bit less on the Boston Red Sox. They didn't tell Tristan Casas to go out there and tear his patella tendon. So a little bit of the blame for on in this portion cannot be put on the Red Sox, but it still hasn't been handled well as a whole. At the same time, Rafael Devers has failed to handle this in any way, shape, or form in a good light. He has done nothing to this point but prove to the Boston Red Sox and the world that he... I'm going to save my thoughts until after Drew's thoughts. So, over the offseason, the Boston Red Sox as everyone knows, signed Alex Bregman. Alex Bregman, very much clearly a better defensive third baseman than Rafael Devers. And so the Red Sox were like, hey, Devers, we got this third baseman here. He's a gold glover. You suck at third base defensively. We'd like for you to be a designated hitter, you know, an easier job. You don't have to worry about fielding. Go be a designated hitter. All you have to worry about is hitting. We'll put Bregman over there at third. It'll be good. Devers said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm a third baseman. Of course, the Boston Red Sox had a sit down with Rafael Devers. He came back a day or two after that and walked back his comments and decided, you know what, I guess I will DH. So he's been a DH this year primarily. And there's probably been a game or two where he's played third base. I'm not sure. Of course, last week, sometime over the last week, Tristan Casas tore his patella tendon. He is out for the year. He is primarily their starting first baseman. So the Boston Red Sox said, hey, Rafi, you play third base and you're DHing now. We want to keep your bat in the lineup. And, you know, we don't want to have to go to somebody who isn't going to help the team offensively or defensively because there's not many options out there. And we'll talk about the Rizzo situation a little bit later. But why don't you, Rafi, why don't you move over to first base? You know, third basemen have moved to first baseman in the past. Look at Vladdy Jr. He's done it for the Toronto Blue Jays. And Rafi said, nope, I ain't doing it. I don't. And let me pull up some quotes here. I've got quotes from Twitter that I did bookmark for this specific reason. Christopher Smith, Smitty on MLB. Check the source. He is a good source. Red Sox Rafael Devers said no when asked if he thinks there's a chance he could change his mind about play. Oh, sorry. This is a later one. Let me find an earlier one. Here we go. Rafael Devers, this is from Fox Sports MLB, not Fax Sports. Again, check the source. Rafael Devers explains why he's not willing to play first base in Boston. I know I'm a ball player, but at the same time, they can't expect me to play every single position out there. In spring training, they talked to me and basically told me to put away my glove, that I wasn't going to play any other position but DH. So right now, I just feel like it's not an appropriate decision by them to ask me to play another position. It was the GM that I spoke with. I'm not sure what he has with me. He played ball, and I would like to think he knows that changing positions like that isn't easy. That is one of the main quotes from Rafael Devers. And then, of course, he was asked if his relationship with the Red Sox is okay. He said, here in the clubhouse, thankfully, the relationship that I have with my teammates is great. I don't understand some of the decisions that the GM makes. Next thing you know, someone in the outfield gets hurt and they want me to play in the outfield. I think I know the kind of player I am. And yeah, that's just where I stand. And then this was the first quote I started reading. Red Sox Rafael Devers said no when asked if he thinks there's a chance he could change his mind about playing first base. I don't think so. They told me I'm a little hard-headed. They already asked me to change once, and this time I don't think I can be as flexible. So I have some very strong feelings about this. Again, as somebody from the outside looking in, I have no emotional ties to the Red Sox. I have no emotional ties to Rafael Devers. I have some very strong feelings about this. But, Drew, I want to get your thoughts on this first before I go off on a tangent as I did yesterday about the Baltimore Orioles. Where do you land on this Boston Red Sox Rafael Devers drama that is currently going on in Beantown?
I can understand Devers' position because, you know, they did walk back the idea of him playing third to primarily DH. And ever since that god-awful start, he's been pretty good. Since those first five games where he was hitless, he's, you know, slashing 294, 409, 524 with a 933 OPS. He's got six homers, 24 RBI, and a stolen base, and drew 25 walks. So he's a quality bat in the lineup, which makes complete sense as to why the Red Sox want to keep his bat in the lineup. Personally, as somebody who is not playing baseball anymore and somebody who is not playing baseball for millions upon millions of dollars, that was never an option in my life. I would fill water bottles for $30 million. I do not care. I literally, the things that I would do, like I look back at my taxes and I'm like, how did I live off of this little money? But you are a Major League Baseball player. There is a small number of Major League Baseball players who are Major League worthy. And Rafael Devers now, especially, is Major League worthy. And what I don't understand is it's not like they're asking you to pitch. It's not like they're asking David Ortiz to play shortstop. They want you to play first base. Of all of the defensive positions, first base is probably going to be the easiest. Maybe right field, but even then, I would choose first base over that. I don't understand this whole Major League Baseball players not wanting to play Major League Baseball thing. It's an Anthony Rendon kind of thing. Now, he just straight up doesn't like to play baseball and he's collecting a check. And like that's he's fleecing the Angels for millions upon millions of dollars. And that's just the funniest thing, but also the worst thing for Angels fans, because it'll make the team more gun shy in the future. But personally, I have no idea the reasoning behind it, at least in terms of him, of Rafael Devers. I would play every position one inning per game all year if I needed to, with no set role in mind. I would, if I could do it, and God knows that I could not, if I could play every position and be that super duper utility, I would totally do it. The Reds are benefiting from Santiago Espinal for being a super utility. Like, his bat's good enough that they have him playing just about everywhere but center field at this point, and catching, because they got catchers on lock. I hate it, honestly. And if I was a player in that clubhouse, I would hate it. I don't think that the Red Sox have an off ramp, and I think they're just going to have to deal with it. But I just, it just looks gross. It looks lazy. You're a DH. There's a time when people thought that wasn't even a baseball player. Me in high school, I thought the DHing was lazy. And I'm like, dude, you're not a baseball player. You're a hitter. I've walked back on that, and I like the DH because I don't want to see Hunter Green take at bats. But I just don't get it. I really don't. You're playing a children's game for $30 million. Get a first base glove, man.
Yeah, I think that for me, I think that I have made it very, very, very clear that as far as baseball is concerned, I am a lot more progressive and analytical leaning than I am with buying into the old school mentality of baseball, to a point. And that point comes with baseball players like Rafael Devers, who don't care about anyone but themselves and don't care about what the team, what would be best for the team, and only cares about what would be best for himself. It's not like he's entering free agency anytime soon. He's not going to be a free agent until after 2033. He's still under contract with the Boston Red Sox for 8 more years after this year. It's also not like Rafael Devers is a superstar player. I thought, before I looked at his stats yesterday, I thought Rafael Devers, especially with the way he's been acting this year, I thought he was a much better player than he actually is. His career OPS is 855. His career OPS plus is 127. That is not superstar player. That's good. That, don't get me wrong, that is a very good player. And he is a very good player. And there was a time when he was the best player on the Red Sox. That time has now since passed. He is not the best player on the Red Sox anymore. Christian Campbell, the rookie second baseman, is better than Rafael Devers. Alex Bregman is better than Rafael Devers. Jaron Duran last year was better than Rafael Devers. So he's not the best player on the team anymore. And he's acting like he is a superstar in the league. I want to give you this list of players, and this is just players that I came up with off the top of my head yesterday, of guys who have changed positions because it was better for the team. These guys are much bigger stars than Rafael freaking Devers. This year, Mike Trout moved to right field in order to try and keep him on the field more because it's better for the team. Last year, Bryce Harper moved to first base to try and keep him on the field more because it's better for the team. As an aside to that, for as much hate as Bryce Harper has gotten throughout his career, and I'm not done with my list of players, there's a lot more. As much hate as Bryce Harper has gotten throughout his career, in this offseason, he told the team, I'll move back to the outfield if y'all sign Pete Alonso because it would be better for the team. Yadier Molina, do what?
That would have been nasty.
I'm happy they didn't sign Pete Alonso. I know he's having a good year this year, but another story for a different day. Yadier Molina, one of the best catchers in the history of baseball. He played first base sometimes to keep his bat in the lineup. Miguel Cabrera, guess where he started? A third baseman. He transitioned to first. Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa swapped positions. Alex Bregman was a shortstop. Carlos Correa was a third baseman. They swapped positions. Jose Altuve is playing left freaking field to keep his bat in the lineup. This one's going to call it a big stir. Alex Rodriguez was a better shortstop in the field and offensively than the one that the Yankees had at the time, and Alex Rodriguez moved to third base. Chipper Jones moved from shortstop to third base. Manny Machado moved from shortstop to third base. And that's just a handful. Those are just the ones that I could come up with off the top of my head. I guarantee there are hundreds and hundreds more. And Rafael Devers, he's acting like they're asking him to go play center field or to go learn how to pitch. They're asking him to move from third base to designated hitter, where he has to do a lot less and there's a lot less wear and tear on his body, and then move from designated hitter to first base. Guess who else on the Boston Red Sox was a designated hitter and sometimes played first base? David Ortiz. Mm-hmm. This is just freaking stupid. It makes absolutely no sense. A big part of my issue with society as a whole, I have little to no tolerance for just sheer ignorance and sheer just lack of common sense. And the fact that Rafael Devers is acting the way that he is while getting paid $30 million a year is just infuriating to me. I get paid shit for writing about baseball. I would go play first base for the Boston Red Sox for less than league minimum. I would move from writing about baseball to writing about the WNBA, which I don't know shit about, if they paid me more to do it. Because it's not hard. It's not hard to go from being a third baseman to a DH, or going from a DH to a first base, or just cutting out the middleman and going from third base to first base. People do it all the time. It makes absolutely zero sense. He has done nothing this year but show that he doesn't care about anyone but himself. He does not care about the Boston Red Sox. He does not care about the success for the team. He even said in a different quote, paraphrasing, go out on the market and find a first baseman. It's stupid. And then, of course, there are Boston Red Sox fans on Twitter that are, oh, well, the general manager, they promised he'd be the third baseman, and then they moved him off. Guess who promised that? Not the not the general manager that's there currently. It was the old regime. This general manager hadn't promised him shit because he ain't worth it. The contract was bad. He's not worth the paper that the contract's written on. Again, he's good. He's not great. He ain't worth $30 million. And I saw another tweet, which was spot freaking on. They had to decide between Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and Rafael Devers. They chose the wrong one. Because Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts won't act like this. Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts ain't good anymore, so, you know, they moved off him. That's okay. But if they still would have had Mookie Betts, guess what? Mookie Betts moved to shortstop from the outfield, and he is a god-awful shortstop because it's better for the team. You do what is best for the team. This isn't football.
It's not like they're asking George Pickens to go play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. It's not like they're, it's not basketball where they're asking LeBron James to go be a water boy. I don't know a good basketball equivalent for changing positions. Basketball players change positions a lot easier. But it's still, it's the point remains. They're not asking him to go be a freaking rocket scientist. They're asking him to move from one corner of the infield to the other because it's best for the team. I don't get it, Drew. I just don't get it.
I don't either. I primarily coming up, I played in the outfield, but when I was on the infield, I would play third or move over to first when our first baseman was pitching, and it wasn't the worst transition ever, and I'm not a good baseball player. Rafael Devers is a pretty good baseball player as it is, and I think that that transition would be pretty easy. But you see you see this all the time. You see players get picked in the MLB draft, and then when they make their debut, they're in a completely different position. Joey Votto was drafted as a catcher. I think six or seven of the Cincinnati Reds starting lineup are shortstops, which obviously you draft shortstops because of the best athlete, and I won't disparage them for that. But legitimately, for $30 million, I would go around, pick up the sunflower seeds, one kernel at a time in the dugout for the St. Louis Cardinals, and then turn around and be water boy for the Pittsburgh Steelers, the two franchises that I hate the most. I would be the athletic director at Michigan if it meant they paid me $30 million freaking dollars. You can't pick up a first baseman's mitt for $30 million. No, I'm with you. It's just dumb. It's not like they're asking you to catch, man. I hope that the Red Sox figure it out. I hope that they're able to get this whole thing situated, but it's so dumb. I'll never understand it. You have the opportunity to play a children's game, and it's such a boomer way of me to think about it, but like you get to play a kid's game. A game that we might lose an entire season of in a year or two because of contract disputes and so on and so forth. Enjoy it. You're not going to be playing baseball for the rest of your life. You're 28 right now. You've got a couple years left, but why not do what's best for your team? Because the Red Sox aren't exactly in a position to be as picky as possible. I mean, they're a game over 500 right now. I do not understand it. It does not compute with my simple little Ohioan brain.
Yeah, it makes absolutely zero sense. And I do want to point out one thing for those watching on YouTube. Whenever Drew brought up David Ortiz playing shortstop earlier, the reason that made me chuckle is because about 10 years ago, when David Ortiz was still in Major League Baseball, my buddy and I were playing MLB The Show, and we did a fantasy draft franchise, and we put David Ortiz at shortstop just to see how it would go, and it made me think of that, and it was very funny, and it did not go well. David Ortiz at shortstop did not go well, as one might think. But one route that the Boston Red Sox could go down, but, surprise, surprise to me, they have not yet, is signing Anthony Rizzo. And a couple of days ago, I did a full episode by myself. So this is not on Drew at all, because he probably would have been a little more professional about it and checked the source, unlike I did not. And they did not sign Anthony Rizzo. So I apologize to those of you who
Troy got.
I got. And what's very, very funny about the situation is there are people that are falling for this talking baseball Twitter profile right now, who is essentially the new NBA Centel, but of Major League Baseball. And they put out a tweet a couple of days ago saying that baseball was going to have a new stat which tracked true home runs, which were home runs would have been home runs in at least 15 or more of the ballparks. And there are multiple high ranking, like big J journalists who are like, well, this is just dumb. This is stupid. I hope baseball doesn't do this. This is going to ruin the game. And I almost I almost replied to one of them to talk shit. And I'm glad I didn't, because I got got. Now, it, yeah. So Anthony Rizzo is not a Boston Red Sox. However, he could be.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not yet. He could be. And everything else that I said in that episode, I do still stand by. I still stand by the fact that Anthony Rizzo would be a good locker room leader. He might not be great offensively. He'll be good with the glove at first base, but he would be a great locker room leader. I very much so stand by the fact, I said this the day before all this drama came out, that Rafael Devers is not a good presence in the clubhouse. He is not a locker room leader. And that is crazy to me with how long he has been there. And I'm pretty sure he is one of the, if he's not the most tenured Boston Red Sox on the roster right now, he's up there. He's in the top three. So it's crazy to me that he is not a locker room leader. But when you look at his attitude toward things, the day after I said that, it's, you see why he's not a locker room leader. But Anthony Rizzo is not a Boston Red Sox. I apologize for any confusion. I got. I will own up to that. Stand by everything else I said in that podcast. Drew, any final things on the Red Sox or me being a dumbass before we move on to today's games?
There's probably a few podcasts worthy, just shoveling on why you're a big old dummy, but we'll leave that for the off season. I was hoping that, you know, the Reds might kick the tires on Rizzo this off season, just because of the fact that he mashes in Great American Ballpark. It might just be because he was playing against the Reds. But I think that has to be, an avenue that they look at, especially now with Devers, you know, throwing a fit. But yeah, you got next time. Don't run with somebody who has satire and parody in their bio there, Troy.
Yeah. So the thing is, in my defense, if there is any, I read that tweet at about 5:30 in the morning, shortly after waking up. And so I did click his profile, but I did not read all the way down the bio to where it got the satire and parody at the end. All I saw was The Athletic. I was like, oh, this is legit. So,
well, the problem with Twitter and not calling it X, the problem with Twitter over the last year plus now is random losers can buy check marks. It used to be that when people were verified, they were who they were. They were actually important voices, or prominent voices, I should say. There were some that were verified that you're just, why? But now anyone can buy a check mark, because giving a billionaire $8 a month is a good investment or something. I don't know. I will never do that. And I make my living online and through sports media, and I'm not giving him my money, but that's the issue. Is, you know, I knew that this was going to be an issue, and he was like, oh well, if they're parody, come on now, too many people, and you're going to see it in the next few days. There are going to be people that are acting like they're Schefter and Rapoport and so on that are going to be breaking NFL schedule news and stuff like that, and it's just, you're scum, you're the lowest of the low, you're a little troll, and you should feel bad that your parents didn't hug you enough as a child, assuming that you're not already 11 years old right now. But I think that it's a big old dummy move to get got by one of those profiles, I still think that they are just pathetic little subhuman trolls who don't deserve the light of day.
Yeah, it's I should not have got. I should have done my due diligence. Again, on me. No defense on that, and I apologize for any confusion again. Also, real quick, very, 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 very quick. Derek Shelton got fired as the Pirates manager.
Yeah.
Do Rob Thompson next.
I don't think that they're going to fire him until the end of the season when they lose in the wild card round. The Pirates are sad. Sorry?
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Hey, it's Rob Thompson. You're not expecting him to win a World Series under Rob Thompson, since he can't manage a... right. But no, the Pirates firing their manager first isn't really super surprising. The Pirates at least have at least a semblance of wanting to win a couple of games every now and then. And, you know, Paul Skeens deserves better, et cetera, et cetera. The Pittsburgh fan base is they're strong. And that ballpark is one that I have to go to, but because it's beautiful. But them firing their manager a week into May is not super surprising, honestly.
Yep, I saw something today. I don't know if it's true or not. I didn't check the source, but I saw something today that this was the Pittsburgh Pirates' second quickest manager firing in the history of their franchise. The first was fired after only 22 games in the 1800s or something crazy like that. Yeah, today's games, all night games because it's Friday and the Cubs are not at home. First game of the day, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, Rangers at the Tigers. Patrick Corbin, it's Reek Skubal. Quietly, a very good pitching matchup. Rangers look to move to 19-20. Tigers look to move to 26-13. Also at 6:40, Braves at those same Pirates. It's Elder Day, and I didn't even know her. Braves look to move to 19-19. Pirates look to move to 13-26 behind TBD. 5 minutes later, 6:45 p.m. Eastern. I have got to flip my phone over because it is blowing up right now. Cardinals at the Nationals. Eric Fetty at Parker. Cardinals look to move to 20-19. Nationals look to move to 18-21. 20 minutes later, 7:05 p.m. Eastern. Brewers at the Rays. Quintana at Little. Brewers look to move to 20-19. Rays look to move to 17-21. 5 minutes later, Cubs at the Mets. That's a good matchup this weekend. Jameson Taillon at Clay Holmes. Cubs look to move to 23-16. Mets look to move to 25-14. Also at 7:10 p.m. Eastern, Phillies at the Guardians. Aaron Nola at Gavin Williams. It's Nola Day. Both teams look to move to 23-15. 30 minutes. Oh, and I get to watch baseball again tonight. Thank God. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the Royals. I am having withdrawals, man. Red Sox at the Royals. Dobbins at Michael Lorenzen. Red Sox look to move to 21-19. Royals look to move to 24-16. Also at 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Marlins at the White Sox. Boo. Max Mayer at Bryce Wilson. Marlins look to move to 15-22. White Sox look to move to 11-28 in the worst series of the weekend. 30 minutes later, 8:10 p.m. Eastern, quietly one of the better series of the weekend. Reds at the Astros. Reds look to move to 20-20. Astros look to move to 19-18. Not a great pitching matchup for the Reds tonight. Nick Martinez at Hunter Brown. Drew, what you got on tonight's game? And this series on the weekend. This is Friday. We're out next
week. Nick Martinez. So the weirdest thing about the Cincinnati Reds is they get up to play the Astros. Makes no sense. It may just be lingering weird voodoo from when the Astros were in the NL Central. If you're old, you know what I'm talking about. The Houston Astros were in the NL Central, and then that was when they were bad. They were awful, and it was so much fun to beat up on them.
They were so bad they got kicked to the American League.
Yeah, and then they went and cheated their way, but they still won a couple of World Series. What do you freaking know? But last year, for as bad as the Reds were, they swept the Astros in three games, outscored them 18-8. There's some weird juju going on, but in general, goodness, we got Nick Martinez on the hill tonight. What was it? And it'll be Andrew Abbott, and then I imagine it'll probably be Brady Singer on Sunday. So it's not the greatest part of the lineup, the rotation, although Andrew Abbott and Brady Singer have been pretty good. And Nick Martinez had a good start last time. I am looking for this lineup to pick up the pitching at this point, because this last series, the lineup did jack diddly doodah. Got almost no hit in game one. Blew it in two of the other three games. Won, but barely, in game three. Gavin Lux is quietly putting together a really good season. He Baseball Reference only has him at 0.3 WAR. He feels like he's been playing a hell of a lot better than that. He's slashing 298, 388, 413, with an OPS plus of 121, and that is second among full-time bats right now. Yeah, Austin Hayes is hurt. It's just the Reds need to get something going. I'm loving what they're doing with their catchers. They've got three catchers right now, which is crazy. Tyler Stevenson is getting eased into the role, and Jose Trevino is showing why they gave him that extension in spring training before he even suited up. So I'm definitely looking forward to this series, but it's going to be on this lineup to pick up the pitching, because if the bullpen is going to get overworked again, this season is going to start to unravel a little bit.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's a good series. Despite the records, I think it's a good series, and definitely one of the there's a lot of good series this weekend, but that is definitely one of them, and it's going to be a fun one to watch with those two teams, especially with Hunter Brown on the mound. He's very good. I was going to say something else too, and I don't remember what it was. Oh well. Also at 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Giants at the Twins. Jordan Hicks at Paddock. Giants look to move to 25-14. Twins look to move to 19-20. 30 minutes later, 8:40 p.m. Eastern, Padres at the Rockies. Vasquez at Senzatella. Padres look to move to 24-14. Rockies look to move closer to the 10 wins that they don't have yet. 58 minutes later, Orioles at the Angels. Orioles look to move to 14-23 behind Tomoyuki Sugano, and the Angels look to move to 16-21 behind Kyle Hendricks. 2 minutes later, 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Dodgers at the D-backs. Dodgers throwing Sasaki. Again, moved up a day. Curious to see how that's going to work out for him against Rodriguez. And the Dodgers look to move to 26-13. D-backs look to move to 21-18. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays at the Mariners. Kevin Gausman at the good Luis Castillo. Blue Jays look to move to 18-20. Mariners look to move to 23-14. And finally, 25 minutes later, 10:05 p.m. Eastern, Yankees at the Athletics. Will Warren on the mound for the Yankees. One of Groom's minions and Beto on the mound for the Athletics. Yankees look to move to 22-16. Athletics look to move to 21-18. And it is Friday, so we will go ahead and say that Sunday night baseball is the Philadelphia Phillies at the Cleveland Guardians. Zach Wheeler versus Luis L. Ortiz are currently slated for that matchup. Don't know what records they'll be trying to play to, because that's 2 days away. But that is on Mother's Day. So to quote a couple days early, well, first of all, happy early Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And to quote one of Drew's favorite college football coaches of all time, Bear Bryant, there was a commercial way back in the day where Bear Bryant had a phone, one of the old school house phones, like rotary, it's on a cord phone. And he held the phone up to he had the phone up to his ear, and he said, "Have you called your mother today?" And then he puts it on the receiver, and he says, "I sure wish I could call mine." So, call your mom. Good commercial. I didn't see it. I was not born yet. But, yeah, Roll Tide, Bear Bryant. Good baseball week. Any final thoughts on the games today or this weekend, Drew?
Kevin Gausman versus Luis Castillo, Reds legends. I feel so bad for the Rockies. They are not going to win ever again, maybe. But just in general, yeah, it's a good weekend. The Phillies Guardians series, the Cubs Mets series, those will be fun to watch.
That was great. Oh yeah, but we're going into the weekend. It's been a fun show. Hope y'all enjoyed it. A couple of rants to end the week for your weekend. So if you enjoyed it, hit that subscribe button. If you're watching on YouTube, turn on the notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk and ranting and raving. And until Monday, this has been First Pitch.